Paul's writing to this church. It's a bunch of new converts. It's a new church. They don't have all the answers, not like most people today. They didn't even have a Bible. They probably had some books of the Old Testament. You know, maybe some of the prophets had passed them around. But they didn't have a Bible. And I want to thank God for my Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God I got the Word of God, the preserved Word of God. Perfect, inerrant, inspired, infallible, eternal Word of God. Man, it's a blessing to have it. When you think about all of those throughout history and all of those even across the world today that don't even have a Bible. But can you imagine trying to live your life without your Bible? Thank God for preachers, amen? But I hope you get more about God than just from the preachers. I hope you learn more about God than just from the preachers. And as Paul was writing to this young church, remember, he is in prison, and Epaphras is giving a witness to this young church of their love that they had for God and their love for all saints. And there was a danger, though, that from what I read in historical, that there was a era of false mysticism here. The enemy was coming in and trying to confuse. And Paul was writing to them, warning them, but at the same time, commending them of their work and their walk and their love, but he gives them a caution. And look in verse number 9 through, we finished up the week before last in verse number 7, and we talked about a little bit about love in the Spirit. And then let's read it and then get into verse number 9. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering. With joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, God, for the privilege You give us to share the Word of God tonight. I pray You would take it, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray You'd touch our body physically. Lord, You know, God, the pollen, Lord, in the season, God, has affected us, God, Lord, this afternoon. And Father, I pray that You would touch us, help us to lay it aside. Lord, not to be focused on it, but God, on the Word of God. I pray You would take our mind and our heart and bring it in on You. And God, help us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to You. God, clothe us, God, in the calling You placed upon our life. Lord, enlighten our eyes to the things of the Scripture. Lord, I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost would guide us. And Lord, open our hearts, Lord, to the truths of God's Word. Lord, we sure love You. And Lord, we sure need You tonight. And God, we need Your presence, God, even in the teaching. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Thank You again for all that You've done. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 8, and I didn't bring this out. I don't know that I brought this out last week, but I mean 2 weeks ago. But I want you to see this. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And may I say unto you, the only way you can love one another and you can love your enemies is through the Spirit of God. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The first one is love. John said, how can you love God whom you can't see when you can't love your brother whom you can see? And I know that sometimes it's hard to love people. Some people, they're just hard to love. They're difficult. Now let me say this. You didn't got to like them. All right? You say, well, how do I like them? How do I love them and not like them? Well, love is an action. It's not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Love, remember, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son. God is love. And so I just wanted to remind us that, and I didn't want to skip over that, but I just wanted to remind us that if to love someone, it's only by and through the Spirit of God. Your flesh don't want to love those you don't like. Your flesh don't want to even like those that are not like you, that disagree with you, have a different personality, different characteristics. And I'm telling you that I know of some people, and I'm thinking of some people, it is hard for me to love them. Okay? But my Bible teaches me that I'm to love my neighbor as myself. Well, how do I do that? Only letting the Spirit of God do the work in my heart and in my life. All right. So let's go on. Let's look in verses 9 through 10, 11. Learning and living is what Paul here is praying. Look at in verse number 9. He says, "For this cause, since we also the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And what's he talking about? Well, you got to go back. Look in verse number 4. Since we heard of your what? Faith. And then in verse number 5, he says, well, that's it. You heard of your faith. And he says, whereof you heard before the word, the truth of the gospel. Paul says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, we heard of you and your faith. We heard what God was doing in your life and how God was working in your life and how that you were allowing God to do that work that only He can do, and how that as a church you were coming together, how that you had the love for all saints and you were your faith in Christ Jesus. And I heard all of these things about you. Man, what great things, as we said, and I'm not going to go back and bring that back out, but man, ain't that great things to be said of you. Man, that's a testimony to a church. May God help us to have that testimony. May God help us have the love of all saints and faith and all of those things that the church of Colossae had. But he said, but for this cause, he says, when I heard all of this, for this cause, because I heard it, I began to pray for you. I began to pray for you about some certain things, because understand, love without doctrine leads you down a dangerous path. Listen to me. Love without doctrine will lead you down a dangerous path. The church today is love everybody. Well, we are to love everybody. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? But the church of today wants all love, right? All grace, none of the righteousness, none of the holiness. Love without doctrine will lead you down the wrong path. Satan uses our vocabulary. Are you listening? Satan uses our words, and I'm talking about, when I say our words, I'm talking about Christian Bible words. But the problem is, they have different meanings. And when you begin to have love in your life, or in the church, or in your whatever it may be, without doctrine, without the knowledge of God, without knowing Him, without the worthy walk, you're headed down the wrong path. Honestly, today, if you went to where all those morons was protesting, those infidels were protesting on the college campuses, and you began to preach Jesus, they would say to you, "You hate me. I don't want to hear that hate. You're to love everybody." Well, I read over there in the Bible where the woman at the well got saved and Jesus told her to go and sin no more. I read over there in the Bible where Jesus came into the house of God where the Pharisees had made it a den of robbers and a den of thieves, and he took a cat of nine tails, he took a scourge, a whip, and he run them out. He was angry. He overthrew the tables. Could you imagine how that Christ had such righteous indignation that when he came in to the temple that day and the Pharisees had got everything out of whack in the house of God and what it was supposed to be, and he literally turned the tables over and he literally took a scourge, a whip, and ran them out of the house of God. Well, that ain't the Jesus I know. Well, but that's the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
Right? So, what we're seeing is Paul is saying, "For this cause, when I heard of your faith and your love, your zeal, your wisdom, when I heard all of that," he said, "I began to pray for you." Have you ever noticed how that when young converts get saved, they get started out, they have a lot of zeal, not a lot of wisdom, they get on fire for God, but then just as soon as the Spirit of God begins to work in their heart and in their life, or just as soon, it ain't long after they get saved, that Satan shows up and leads them away. Paul is saying, "I'm praying for this cause." Because what he's saying, I want to come back in 10 years and I want to hear the same zeal that you have. I want to hear the same love that you have. I want to hear the same faith that you have. And what he's saying is this, it's more than just at the house of God, and it's more than just the excitement of the new birth that you have. He says, "I'm praying for you," and notice what he prays. Notice he's talking about their learning and their living. Notice in verse number 9, he says, "I'm praying for you, and I cease not to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul is praying that they would have the knowledge of His principles first. His principles. He noticed there, he says, "I'm praying that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will." There's a wealth of knowledge in this Bible. A wealth of it. I mean, if Paul, John said this, if we wrote everything, if they wrote everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, the world could not contain the volumes of books. There's a wealth of knowledge. This Bible is your instructions to live on this earth. It's your guide for your marriage. It's your guide for parenting. It's a guide for grandparents. It's a guide for wives. It's a guide for widows. It's a guide for maidens. It's a guide for husbands. It's a guide for soldiers. It's a guide for sons. It's a guide for daughters. It's a guide for businessmen, politicians. And no matter the field, no matter what wisdom is sought, the Word of God has it in it.
Amen.
And it's principles. And he says, "I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will," not the person, of His principles. Most people today, and most people, as I said, they get sidetracked when they lay off the doctrines of the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God, and they say, "Well, I just don't believe in a God," and things like that. Me and my dad was talking the other day, and he said one of his grandkids had come and talked to him about some things and about the Bible. They'd started a Bible study group, and thank God for it. It's a bunch of babes in Christ, though. Okay, they're not mature. And one of them asked some questions, and they didn't know how to answer it. One of them came to Daddy and said, "Well, can you help me with this?" And he said, "You can't put God in a box." See, what happens is we don't want people to teach us what the Word of God says. We want to go searching the Word of God for what we think God ought to be. All right? We don't want our lives to line up with the Word of God. We want the Word of God to line up with our lives. So we don't want the knowledge of the will of God. Notice what he said, I want you to have the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding. Psalms 143:10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. For thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise, but understand in what the will of the Lord is. Let me ask you this question. Do you know what the will of God is for your life? I had a conversation with someone this week. They said, well, I just don't know what God's will for my life is. I said, well, are you doing what you know to do? And they said, well, no. Then I said, why would God show you anything else? Well, I just don't know what God's will for my life is. You do what you know to do, and then let God begin to enlighten you on the rest of it. Why would God show you what anything more when you don't even participate or do in what He's already showed you to do? God wants you to know His will. It's not a mystery. People say, well, the will of God's a mystery. I just don't understand it. I can't find it. Because you ain't looking for it. I'm honest. You're not praying about it. You're not seeking the face of God. Paul says, I'm praying that you don't end up as one of these new converts that end up out there. I'm just wandering around in mysticism and being confused and allowing Satan to lead you away and because of the same words and terms that they're using at the church. And he says, I want you to know what the will of God is. I want you to know. I want you to have the knowledge of God's will. The Bible said this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally. The Bible says, Hebrews 13:21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you, which is well-pleasing in His sight. Paul's saying, I'm praying in my prayer to you. My prayer is your pastor. And my prayer for those that God allows me to come in contact with is that my prayer is that they would have the wisdom and knowledge of His will. And notice this, notice what he said there, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's a pretty good prayer. Wouldn't you like to know what the will of God is in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Now, I understand this. I understand that the more mature we get, and the deeper we get into our studies of the Word of God, and the longer we walk with the Lord, and the more knowledge we get, the more depths He shows us. See, God shows me things now in the Word of God that I couldn't handle when I first got saved. God has worked in my heart since I got saved some things that and He's revealed to me His will that I couldn't handle it. Look at the disciples. He walked with them 3.5 years before He ever gave them a full ministry. The Apostle Paul had to go sit down at the feet. I'm there for a year and a half, 2 years at Ananias' house before God ever put him in the ministry. And Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But God wants to school us, and there's certain things that He will not reveal to us unless we're in His will and unless we're seeking His will. And Paul says, I want you to be in the will of God, but I want you to know what the will of God is. Let me ask you this. Let me break this down. I may get hung up here for a little while. Let me ask you this. You pray every day? If you don't, you're not doing the will of God. Are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? Are you meditating upon His precepts? Are you loving your neighbor? Are you faithfully attending the house of God, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together? Are you tithing? Are you offering? You say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, if you're not doing that, He's not going to show you the rest of it. Because you're not doing what He's already showed you. Okay? So, we see here that he said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now let me say this. This Bible here is not a natural book. It's a spiritual book. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually. See, just like the young person that came to my dad and asked the question, they're trying to apply physical, natural knowledge to God. You can't put God in a box. There's not a box big enough to hold him. You can't. You say, well, I don't understand why God does this. I don't understand why the sun don't burn us all up. I don't understand why the oceans have, the seas has not reached to the Cleveland, Georgia. Why don't we have beachfront property now? I mean, really. I don't understand how some people can cook and some people can't cook. Huh? I mean, that's true. I don't understand a lot of things. But it don't mean that I'm just not going to accept it. I can't. The Bible is a spiritual book. And God wants you to have the spiritual knowledge of His Word and the revelation of His Word. It's not nothing new. It may be new to you. God, let me ask you this, and I don't want to embarrass nobody, but if I ask by a show of hands, has God ever, you've ever been reading your Bible and God showed you something that you'd never seen before and you'd read that passage of Scripture you don't know how many times? You know what that is? That's spiritual wisdom that God's given you about that passage. Paul's saying, I'm praying that you would have spiritual wisdom about His will. It's spiritual, and you have spiritual understanding. Well, we see the knowledge of His principles. We see there's the wealth of wisdom. But look in this one, look in verse number 10. He says there's a worthy walk. Not just that you might have knowledge of His will, but I pray that you might walk worthy. You walking worthy? World see Jesus in you? You blameless and without reproach? A pleasing walk. You understand without faith it is impossible to please God. See, the Bible says that in Romans 6:4 that we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Do you understand? We ought not walk like we did before we got saved. And that walk means our everyday lifestyle. That means everything about us ought to be different. Why? Because we got newness of life. I want the world to know I'm a Christian. I don't want to blend in with the world. I don't want to have to wear a t-shirt or a bumper sticker on my car saying I'm a Christian. I want to dress like a Christian. I want to talk like a Christian. I want to walk like a Christian. I want to walk worthy of the Lord. Doesn't know what he said? Unto all pleasing. Not what pleases me. That's pleasing of the flesh. That's pleasure in me. There's some things that the Lord has instilled in my life and some principles and some biblical preferences that I get from the Word of God and some biblical doctrines that I get from the Word of God that I don't do certain things that I used to. Don't wear certain things that I used to. Well, you're a preacher. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And I want the world to know I'm a Christian. But I'll say this, it's more than just our dress. It's our face. It's the words that come out of our mouth. It's how we handle our business. It's how we treat people. Remember, that love part's hard. He says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you. Are we having a worthy walk? Is it worthy? Does it bring glory and honor to God? When the world sees us, do they say, hey, there's something different about that person? And understand this, it goes back to this. Notice the last part of that. Well-pleasing. It's not just a worthy walk, but it's a pleasing walk. Notice what it said. Unto all pleasing. All pleasing. That means every aspect of my life. Now understand this. That does not mean that I'm not going to fall. It does not mean that I'm not going to fail. It does not mean that you can't sit here right now in this audience and you've known me for 7 years. Some of you have known me longer, but you basically have known me. We're going on 6.5 years, pushing on 7 years of me being your pastor. And you know that in these last 6.5 to 7 years, you have seen me make mistakes and you've seen me mess up and you have seen me not probably walk worthy of the Lord. I've seen you do the same. But that doesn't mean that we ought not to strive to. Does that make sense? Why is it we always look at the bad and forget the good? But what I'm saying is this, is that my walk, do I strive to walk well-pleasing unto the Lord? Not to you, not to me, not to the world, but do I strive to walk well-pleasing? Pleasing unto the Lord. See, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, well, number one, this must be a walk of faith. A walk of faith. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. Does my walk please the Lord? Not only is my walk worthy to have be termed Christian, but is my walk pleasing the Lord? Do I please the Lord with my walk, my everyday life? Am I pleasing unto Him? Paul says, if you're not careful, you'll get led away by those that say your walk won't matter. We hear that today, don't we? I love Jesus, but I curse a little. I love Jesus, but I drink a little. I love Jesus, but I sleep around a little. That's not a worthy walk unto well-pleasing unto the Lord. A worthy walk is the world sees something different in you because you're to walk, and you're to walk, and I'm to walk in the newness of life. Let me ask you this. If we've been given a new life, why would we want to walk in the old life? Why would we all want to walk in those paths? Fear, destruction, discouragement, decay, reproach. Why would we want to walk that way? The Bible says this, Romans 8:8. Remember, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5 first. He says this, so they that are in the flesh, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You remember that verse? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, so not only without faith is it impossible to please God. All right, so we must walk by faith and not by sight. Right? That's what the Word of God tells us. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That don't mean that we have headlights shining down the road. That means we're in the driver's seat blindly. Okay? Man, they got these new AI cars out there today. Ford's got that blue driving. Y'all seen that commercial? Was it Blue Pilot or Blue something? Y'all seen that commercial? Well, Chevrolet's had it out too, and it's a different term. They're taking their hands off the steering wheel while they're going down the road. I got faith in God, but I ain't got faith in that computer, all right? I ain't doing that. Sorry. No. And I really don't want to be on the road and anybody else doing that. So, but faith is sitting in the driver's seat behind the steering wheel blindly. Not knowing what tomorrow brings, not knowing what the next moment brings, but knowing that whatever it is, God's in control. Faith. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We know that we're to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. The Bible says, Romans 8, verse 8, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please God walking in the flesh. It's impossible. Listen to me. And I don't know if this is for somebody on the radio or Facebook or wherever it is. It's impossible to please God with rebellion in your heart. Rebelling against the Word of God. You cannot please God. You cannot. Your walk. I don't care how many tags you hang around your neck. I don't care how many times you go to church. If you're in direct rebellion against the Word of God, you are walking in the flesh, and you cannot please God. I don't care if you teach the Sunday school, leading a choir, playing the piano, preaching behind the pulpit. It don't matter. You cannot walk in the flesh and please God. And you cannot be, if you're walking in the Spirit of God, listen to me, will guide you into all truth. All right? When you're walking in the flesh, you don't care a thing in the world about the Spirit. The Bible said here, Paul says, I'm praying that you might walk worthy in the Lord and all well pleasing. Notice this. The Bible says this, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, his maketh his enemies be at peace with him. Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica and said, furthermore, when we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please the Lord, so ye may would abound more and more. Paul says, I've told you how to walk. The Bible tells you how to walk. Remember, he started out this prayer. He said, I want you to be increased with the fullness of the knowledge of the wisdom of God in His will. All right? So we see that not only our walk in our walk there, we see that it's not only a pleasing walk, but let's look on in that. And He wants us to have a productive walk. Being fruitful in every good work. Productive. Do you feel like you're walking a productive walk? I know most of my people in here is retired. Let me ask you, you still feel like you're living a productive life? You productive in your life? You productive in your walk? I'm not necessarily saying about finances, but are you productive? Paul says, I want you to have a productive walk. I want your life to mean something. He said, I want you to have fruit that may abound to your account. The Bible says this, 2 Peter 1:8, for these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:8, Jesus spoke to the disciples, and herein is my Father glorify, that ye bear much fruit. John 15:16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You got any fruit hanging in your walk? You got a productive walk? Paul says, I don't want you to have a stagnant walk. I don't want you to be stagnant in your walk with Christ. I want you to have some fruit. He said, I don't want you to have wasted years. I don't want the devil to rock you asleep or to lead you astray and you live the rest of your life out and there's no productivity in your life for the Lord. Paul says, I want you to walk a productive walk. And not just a pleasing walk, but I want your walk to be fruitful. Wouldn't you want your walk to be fruitful? Look at this one. Not only says, I want you to be a fruitful walk, but I want you to have a prospering walk. We see fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's His walk. John, Jesus said this in John 17, if you're taking notes, that's a prospering walk. He just didn't want us to have a productive walk, He wanted us to have a prospering walk. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Now understand this. Everything about now has been about principles. Right? We've talked about the will of God, the wisdom and spiritual understanding. We've talked about the walk of God, how that it ought to be. It ought to be pleasing and that it ought to be fruitful. All right? We've talked about the principles of God. Now we're going to talk about the person of God. Notice what he said. In increasing in the knowledge of God. Not about God, but the knowledge of God. See, you know me better than you did 6.5 years ago. You may have had a practical knowledge of me. But now you have a more personal knowledge of me. When me and my wife started dating, we had a practical knowledge of one another. Then through our dating years, it became a little more personal. But then when we became husband and wife, it became a whole lot more personal. And we have a personal knowledge of one another. I can tell you what she's thinking. Okay? I know what she likes and what she don't like. I can tell when she's troubled. I have a personal knowledge of her. The person, not the principles. And Paul is saying, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. Paul said this, that I may know Him. See, many people today, many pastors, many Christians, they want the knowledge of about God, but they don't want the knowledge of God. They don't want to know Him. They want to know about the God of the Bible. They don't want to know the God in the Bible. I want to know Him personally. Why? Because I got introduced to Him by my Savior. And my Savior gave me a new life. And my Savior made me a being, a new being. That's why He made me a new being. I'm a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I now can have fellowship with the Father because I have fellowship with the Son. And as we've been preaching through on Sunday morning, I can go in and meet with Him and commune with Him and have an intimate knowledge of God. And Paul's saying, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. I want you to know Him personally. Paul said this, or Peter said this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, of our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us unto His glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you want to know Him? Or are you scared to know Him? I asked that to somebody this week. I was dealing with someone. And I said, why do you not want to get closer? I asked the question. I said, scale of 1 to 10, where's your relationship with God right now? They said, it's probably about a 4. And I said, well, do you want any more? And I said, well, first of all, I said, are you sure you're saved? They said, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I said, you sure? They said, yeah. And I said, well, if you're at a 4, do you want any more? They said, I don't know. I said, why? We think it's shocking, but the fact of the matter is, probably 80% of the Christians in the world is that way. Maybe even some of you in here tonight. Why do you not want to know Him anymore than what you know Him? Why do you not want to be more intimate with Him? I asked this person this. I said, are you disappointed in Him? Has He disappointed you? Are you mad at Him because of happenings in life, circumstances? Because things ain't turned out the way you thought they should? Are you afraid that He's angry at you and you're afraid that if you go to Him that He's going to scold you? I said, that's not the God we serve. I said, but I can promise you this. You stay at number 4, and if you're a child of God, I said, there's probably some worse days coming than what you're facing right now. But why would you not want to know God, the creators of the heavens and the earth, the one that loved you enough to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. That you may know Him. Just that you could remember, He reconciled us unto God. That made He made us our relationship. He repaired it. Adam destroyed it. Christ repaired it. He reconciled us unto God. Why would we not want to? Oh, well, I'm afraid I might be a holy roller. Really? You really afraid of that? Well, I'm afraid they might call me weirdo. They done do. You're weird. I'm going to pull up a Larry Sears. Y'all weird. But why would we not want to know Him? Why would we not want to have intimate fellowship with the God of heaven? Paul says, I don't want you to be led astray. I've heard how good things are going. And he said, and for this cause, I'm praying for you. Because I want you to grow. I don't want you to get stale. I don't want you to shrivel up and go away. I don't want you to live a wasted life. I don't want you to have an unworthy walk. I don't want somebody to come by and ask, well, how's Brother David doing? Well, you know, Brother David, he was doing good, but I don't even know about Brother David no more. He don't even come to church. Well, Brother David used to be faithful. He used to serve, man, he loved the Lord. Wasn't he a deacon? Yeah. What happened, Brother? I don't know. Somehow or another, he got led astray. That's what Paul's saying. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that of you. And what he was saying, he wasn't saying, I don't want to hear that out of you as a deity. He said, well, I don't want to hear that out of you. He was saying, I don't want to hear that of you because it's going to break my heart. I want you to be a productive Christian. I want you to have a worthy walk. And I want you to increase in your knowledge of Him. We ain't going to get to the last thing. I don't guess that will make it to the radio. It's too long.